This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
You're listening to Australia's number one tech podcast. Every week, join hosts Brad and Jason here on the Tech Webcast. Download our iPhone app, follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast, and visit us online at techwebcast.info. Here are your hosts, Brad and Jason.
Welcome to episode 163 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on Saturday, the 12th of November, 2011. Tech Webcast is recorded live every Saturday and rebroadcast on Aussie Tech Heads on Thursday nights at 7. Today's hosts are Brad, Jason, Steve, and Aaron. Good afternoon, Brad.
Jason, welcome back, mate, after your two-week break.
Back again.
Back. Where did you go? Give us a rundown on what you did and where you went.
I went up to the mid-north coast. Dad had some surgery, so... My daughter and I went up there and stayed with Mum to help around the place until he got back out of hospital.
Good stuff. And is he okay now?
Yeah, he's doing fine. Great. Takes a lot of that, not a lot more than that to knock him down. Good stuff. Years ago, he used to ride a motorbike.
Okay.
And he was travelling down a road and this big Alsatian dog came out and started barking at the front tyre.
Wow.
And then it decided it wanted to go to the other side, so it decided to jump in front of the bike.
Oh, God.
That's not a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea.
He hit the dog, went flying down the road on his face, and somebody, one of our friends who lived down that road, found him a bit later, knocked unconscious with a broken up bike and scratched up helmet and stuff.
Oh, God.
And then, years after that, he was at work and he got smashed by this huge piece of machinery and had to go in for surgery there. So he's had a few knock arounds, but it takes a lot to keep him down.
good on him. And also we've got Steve from Chatterbox Live. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up? I almost missed the podcast.
Yes, we did. Mate, lucky I sent you a message.
Doesn't this podcast happen at the same time every week?
He's an hour behind. But now,
no, this is what it is. There's like, you guys are a day ahead of me. You got your time zone change. We got a time zone change. And then the regular time, that's like five things in a row that we got to take in the count for.
Too funny.
We'll get you a calculator.
Better. Yeah. Also, we've got Aaron back on. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, I'm back.
What's up, buddy? How's your throat?
Yeah, the throat's a lot better. I had an operation on it a couple of weeks ago. A lot better now. I'm on the mend.
Cool.
And Steve, I totally sympathize with you on the time zone thing, mate, because it screws me up too. I'm in Queensland, so I don't get daylight savings. And I've got to do the show a little earlier now.
It's
hard to remember.
Good to have you back on, mate. I'm sure you got some stuff you want to talk about too.
Also, man.
We got Tom from Buy Me an iPhone. Hey, Tom.
Tom, hey, fellas. How are you?
How are you,
mate?
Having me. Welcome.
Hello.
To the show.
And, where are you from, Tom?
I am in Stockton, California. And
What time is it there?
It is 6:15 Friday evening.
Yesterday.
And daylight savings time is bullshit because it doesn't save any daylight.
I leave when it's dark.
When it's dark, I come home when it's dark.
We're all summer here, so it's just sunny all the time.
Yep, love it. So tell us what you do, Tom, on Buy Me an iPhone.
Well, I have to tell you guys, it's just super cool. You know, it just seems so much cooler to be on an Australian show than on an American show for some reason. So,
really?
You know, yeah, just cool. Just I hope you guys feel cool today.
We do. Indeed.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, what we do on buymeaniphone.com is we do news and video reviews of all sorts of iPhone accessories, Mac accessories, get into a little, you know, stuff that can be used with PC and Mac, and really bring a new type of look at accessories instead of just the typical, here's a picture and I'm going to write my theories about it. We are able to do it in video, and we are video-centric, and we're able to show you all the nooks and crannies and ins and outs.
So you're on YouTube?
It actually kind of started funny. We originally just started housing our videos on YouTube, and then the whole YouTube community kind of blew up, And so it's kind of like, you know, some people know us from our YouTube channels and some people know us from the website and a lot of people know us from both. So it's kind of a good mix. You know, you kind of get people that might not have gone to the website or not found the website. They're able to find us on our YouTube channels and then kind of go, oh, well, these guys are on this website, and we're able to draw a lot of traffic from that. So it's cool. It's helped out a lot.
So nobody actually buys anyone an iPhone?
No. Well, you know,
where did your name come from?
It's a funny story, and Omar hates when I tell this story, but I think it's a great story. So back in 2007, when the first iPhone was launched, if you guys remember, it was like $500 or $600. It was something outrageous. And Omar had just had his second child, and he said, you know, I really want the iPhone. And his wife said, you're nuts. You know, we just had another kid. You're not spending $500, $600 on a phone. So he kind of put up this website as a joke where it was buymeaniphone.com, and he put up a PayPal link, and he started taking donations. And he got a couple $100, and then he got all this hate email, you know, all sorts of hate comments. So he's like, all right, I'll just take it down. Yep. Well, the day after he took down his PayPal link is when somebody in London or something ran a big story on it, and then he got like a million hits, and the PayPal button was gone already.
Oh, no. Bad timing.
Yeah, so after that, you know, he wanted to find some really good accessories for his iPhone, and he would go places like iLounge and, you know, Gizmodo and Gadget, and everybody would have a picture of a case or an accessory and then their little write-up. And if I want to see a picture of the case, I can go to the manufacturer's website and see all the pictures I want. Yeah. But nobody was doing video, so Omar started doing video, and that's kind of how it came about.
So what do you shoot the video with?
I'm using a Canon Vixia, and there's 9 of us on staff, and we have a variety of different cameras. Some guys use DSLR, some guys use actually point-and-shoots. I started with a Canon SD400, I think it was, and now I'm up to I think it's a F400 Canon Vixia or something like that. And actually, with how good the video is on the iPhone 4S, I'm thinking about shooting a little bit more kind of remotely with that and see kind of what happens, just to swap it up a little bit.
Yeah, I do our YouTube video with a Canon Nexus 100IS.
And so do you upload in 1080p, or do you stay at 720, or what kind of resolution?
No, the problem that I've got with it is that the camera can only do 4 gigs at a time due to file size limit.
Right,
so
right.
If I put it on 720p or 1080p, not only is the file size really huge, but the camera will stop recording after about 35, 40 minutes, and if our show just goes a little bit over time, plus I've got the pre-show and stuff that I cut out before I upload it, then we miss the end of the show, which has happened all the time. So I feel out the end of it with just a couple of still images or something, but it's just not quite long enough to do. But also, when you're uploading it to a website, until we get our national broadband network, it's terribly slow as it is. The file that I usually have is about 1.5 gigs in size, and after all the production on it, and that takes about 4 hours to upload to blip.tv, which then distributes it everywhere.
Oh, well, so, I'm not going to complain anymore then.
Yeah, so I don't worry too much about high quality for the video, because by the time I do all the work on the MacBook Pro I've got, and then create a 4 gig file and then try and upload it somewhere, it could take the rest of the week to do. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys, to be quite honest with you, I've done a couple of videos the last month in 1080p, and I've always done 720, and I hardly noticed the difference, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, mine are about 640 by 480. Yeah.
Definitely. So, Tom, what is your what is your favorite iPhone 4S case at the moment?
You know, that's funny that you asked that. I just had this conversation with the guys that are installing my solar panels, because they just all got 4Ss.
Cool.
And I've talked to a lot of manufacturers about this, and I'm curious to get your guys' take on this.
Definitely.
I had a lot of favorite cases with the iPhone 4. And those cases have kind of fallen out of favor with me with the 4S. And it's because of this reason. Now, you know, the iPhone 4, it had a good camera. You know, it took good pictures in the daytime. You know, once you kind of got to dusk and darkness, it's like, okay, now you move over to your point and shoot that had a really good flash. And the f-stop was a lot better. And you were just able to get more light into the iris. Well, now with the 8-megapixel camera and the better lens on the 4S, I have actually gone to my 4S as my everyday point and shoot. Yeah. And my wife, who is not a tech addict, she's like, wow, that's a great camera, and she loves the Siri. So In the past, where she would just get my 4, she has a 4S, and she uses that as her everyday camera,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I agree. You won't need to buy another camera, mate. You just use that as a main camera.
And this is where I've run into problems. With a lot of my favorite cases for the 4, they don't work well with the 4S when you're taking a lot of low-light pictures because the flash bounces back across the lens.
Yeah.
And although that was acceptable for the few pictures you took with the 4 in low light, it's totally unacceptable now for some reason. So I'm kind of in a quandary, and I'm not sure why manufacturers haven't addressed this as much. So right now, I'm using a SGP leather snapback grip.
Nice. Now, I bought a spec case from the spec website the other day, and they actually made the camera hole a little bit bigger now on the case.
Right.
The spec, I think it's a HD one. I'm not sure the model of it, but it's one of the HD one. But the camera on the back of it, they made the hole of it a bit bigger, so that doesn't happen with the flash and stuff. So,
So is that the candy shell, the new candy shells, or?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. This Pixel candy.
I'm actually waiting for a couple of those, and I actually stopped in an Apple store today because one of the colors that I really am hot for is an Apple exclusive, so I wanted to kind of grab it even though I'd have to pay for it. But, you know, I get so much free stuff, I can drop $30 on a case every year or so. And there are, like, none to be found here, so maybe you guys have them all.
Maybe, yeah. Steve, any questions?
It's I kind of noticed that you got like CES in there 2010 and 2011. Do you actually go to these like Las Vegas and see this, or do you have send somebody out, or how do you do it for the new products?
Yep, me and Omar have gone to CES. This will be our third year come January. And hopefully we'll have Ryan said he was coming, and hopefully we'll have about 6 guys there. So we go to CES every year, and it is 4 or 5 days of sure. It's like a geek's wet dream, you know. But man, it gets tiring. And you'd figure, oh, Las Vegas, you're going to gamble and party. But I think in 2 years in Vegas, I've spent all of $20 gambling, and that was only because we were waiting for an appointment, and I happened to sit down at a slot machine. So it's if you ever get a chance to go. That is just an unbelievable show, and you will find so much stuff that you never even imagined. And you won't even be able to – you could literally spend a month there and still not see everything.
Wow.
That's crazy. Aaron, any questions for Tom?
Yeah, a couple. Mate, big fan of the site. It seems like nothing gets past you guys. Do you find now that it's like a lot of manufacturers are just sort of sending stuff to you guys, or is it that you guys are still seeking it out and finding it all across the web? How do you find the stuff that you review?
A little bit of both. Now that we've kind of established ourselves, and you know, when you attend CES, when you're able to look manufacturers in the eye and shake their hand, it does lend a lot more credibility than just sending them an email. We do get a lot of manufacturers, you know, emailing us, or sometimes stuff just shows up in the mail, to be quite honest with you. Maybe they get our address from other manufacturers. But on occasion, you know, we always like to keep our eye out for something different, or, you know, viewers will send us an email and say, hey, Tom, can you check out? The one was Green Onion screen shields. So, I'll send an email. I've got my email. I'll send them and, you know, see what we can do. So, it's a lot easier now than it was before, I'll tell you that.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Do you guys do this full time?
No, this is our kind of our entrepreneurial gig. We all have full-time jobs, do this on the side, and luckily all of us have really patient wives because, you know, we spend a lot of time doing a lot of tech stuff and filming and, you know, talking to them about tech, and most of them don't care, so they just indulge us.
Yeah,
so,
yes, dear.
Amen to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, to give you an idea, I was really excited that my wife wanted the 4S, right? And so I reserved it on at an Apple store, and I have to drive 40 minutes to an Apple store. There's not one in my town. So I drove down, I picked it up, and I brought it to her at work. And I said, hey, do you want to open the box? Because as you guys know, you know, opening the box of an Apple product is a big deal.
Yeah.
And this is her exact words to me. She says, no, I don't get an orgasm opening a phone. And I said, okay, good, because I'll get off on your phone too.
All right, Tom, what about
eye rolling, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. What about, hey, no Tom, what about an iPad case? What's your favorite iPad case?
You know, my favorite iPad case is the STM Skinny.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys have seen that, but it is just a fantastic slim case, really easy to close, carry around. It almost feels like it's naked, and I still feel protected without a lot of – and it's a nice fabric case. It's not a lot of silicone-y or TPU. It's a little bit different.
You should review the Dodo case for the iPad too.
You know, I have always had my eye on that, and I think Omar is working on getting that. And,
yeah.
There's not a lot of us with iPads. I think me, Omar, Ryan, and Doug are the only ones with iPads now.
Okay.
Right? I think everybody banged theirs, and I have banked the cash waiting for the 3 come March or whenever it's coming. So I'm like, okay, no problem. I'll take all the iPad stuff.
Good stuff.
What do you think they might have in the 3?
You know, it's magic. It's really going to be touch and go. I don't know what else they can have. I'm sure it's going to be a better camera. The camera on the iPad 2 sucks. But then again, we complained that the first one didn't have a camera, so sucky camera is better than no camera.
Yeah.
It's probably going to have they're probably going to bump up the processor. I don't know how far they're going to go with that. And I really think that a lot of the improvements will be in iOS. I'm still waiting for this FaceTime over 3G stuff with AT&T. You know, everybody said, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and now it seems that everybody forgot about it. So,
yeah, I always thought that was interesting because you can get other apps that have video over 3G, but it's the Apple-specific ones that AT&T won't let you do it with, even though you can download something else.
Yeah, the things that AT&T does just kind of boggles my mind. Here's
and
one
it ends
that
up
really
screwing us in Australia as well, which is bizarre. Oh, we exactly can't do it at AT&T. Well, you're not going to do it anywhere else in the world because AT&T said no.
Well, here's one that I just went through. And tell me what you guys think of this and tell me what you guys go through in Australia. I have a 3GS, right? Off contract. I bought it on launch day, so I'm done with my 2 years. And it's sitting in my drawer. Now, I've got the 4S. My wife's got the 4S. I'd really like to upgrade my daughter from the 3G to the 3GS. And she is on right now T-Mobile on a prepaid because I have it hacked and jailbroken and unlocked.
Yep.
But the 3G is just really slow. So I said, okay, you know what? Maybe I'll just put her on my plan, you know, on a family plan. It'll cost me an extra $9. And we won't put data on it, and we'll just block the data. Well, come to find out this week that not only will AT&T not unlock a 3GS, even though all other phones are unlockable after your 2 years, but they will not let you put a SIM in with a phone number without a data plan,
really?
Which just kind of blows my mind. I mean, here I have this handset that I paid $200 for. I'm out of contract. And not only can I not unlock it for anybody else, but I can't use it without data. I mean, my 9-year-old doesn't need a data plan. You know, she's on Wi-Fi at home. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like,
bizarre.
Yeah,
the fact that they won't unlock the phone baffles me, but the fact that they are enforcing a data plan, that makes sense to me, just for the fact that these smartphones suck a lot of data, and if you don't have a data plan, then the phone might accidentally ring up a really bad data bill, and then you're going to complain about it, and they don't
want to
deal with that.
I think he wanted to block data on it altogether is the point.
Yeah, because you can block data on all other phones except smartphones. You can block it on every other, so I don't understand why they can block text and data on everything else, but their smartphones, they can't block text and data. Or they choose not to, exactly.
All right, Jason, let's jump into the tech news, mate. What's been happening? I want to hear about this TiVo story.
Alrighty. Yeah. Steam, one of the world's largest distribution networks for online video games, has been hacked, leaving the user accounts of 35 million vulnerable and potentially exposing their credit card details and billing address to hackers. It follows the prominent hacking of Sony's PlayStation Network in April, which affected 77 million accounts globally, 1.5 million which were in Australia. Valve, the company behind Steam, issued a message to users informing them of the breach. Company head Gabe Newell said online forums were defaced on Sunday, November 6th in the US, and that on further investigation it found that the intrusion went beyond the Steam forums. The company learned, he said, that the intruders also obtained access to Steam database, which contained information including usernames, hashed and salted passwords, game purchases, email addresses, billing addresses, and encrypted credit card information. A mobile shopping technology startup created in a garage in Wollongong in Australia has been acquired by US shopping giant Walmart. It's not even the middle of the month yet, but November has already been paved with gold for Australian entrepreneurs. The acquisition of Grabble by the digital arm of Walmart, dubbed Walmart Labs, comes on the same day another Australian technology startup, Trunkly, announced it was being acquired by link-sharing giant Delicious. Last week, crowdsourcing for Genius site Kaggle received an $11 million injection from some of the biggest investors in Silicon Valley, and Design Crowd received $3 million investment. The week before, Perth-based smartphone app maker Filter Squad received $1.1 million in funding. In the past year or so, more than $100 million has flowed into Australian technology businesses, while technology entrepreneurs made up a quarter of both the BRW Young, Rich and Fast 100 lists. After a nervous wait, it seems the disappointing TiVo XL is the best hybrid TV can do. As its advanced features fall further behind the competition, it's becoming hard to defend the TiVo when there are so many exciting things happening in the Australian market. Fetch TV is unveiling smartphone apps this month for its PVR, which offer remote scheduling, bringing it in line with the TiVo and Telstra's T-Box. But Fetch TV and the T-Box also offer a wealth of extra online content, including movie rentals and pay TV options, and both have big plans for next year. It makes TiVo's mediocre Casper movie platform look pretty petty wimpy. Other PVR makers are also lifting their game. The likes of BeyondWiz, Topfield, Strong and Humax offer tight integration with the slick Ice TV electronic program guide. Plus, they're adding advanced features such as extra tuners, content streaming and catch-up TV service access. QuickFlix's move into online movie rentals also offers the chance for many devices to expand their offerings. Australia's PVR market is teeming with innovation and set to explode as the digital TV switchover pushes ahead, but all TV has to show for itself is a bigger hard drive and a hefty price tag. Mm. What's your thoughts on that, Brad?
Well, there's a couple of things. I want to get your view on this first, Jason. What do you reckon, mate? What do you reckon?
I reckon it's a slap in the face for Australia in the last 3 years, US has got TiVo Premier and cooler remotes and access to new things. In Australia, we've had the Series 3 for the last 3 or 4 years at 320 meg hard drive and a 320 gig hard drive. And now they've said, well, in the past also, for that 320 meg gig hard drive, you could purchase an extender often from Officeworks for $99, which gave you a terabyte.
Exactly.
So I think the Series 3 is still about $499.
I think it's
a ripoff. $100 for the extender gives you 1.32 terabytes. So that's $599. Or you could pay, what is it, $699 XL? Sorry?
Something like that. Yeah, I think it's about $700,
For the TiVo XL, which has just got a 1 terabyte drive in it.
Yeah.
So what's the point?
It's a
There's
point.
No
I
extra features.
No.
It doesn't do anything cooler or faster or better. No. It's exactly the same thing, just with a new hard drive.
No. I think they made a bad move on this. I think people got confused about it, and I know for a fact
We were going off on their Facebook page about how this is ridiculous. They've done all the Casper movies for those in the US. Australia doesn't have a subscription service for TiVo TV like they do over there, so you just buy the device, which is why it's so expensive, because you're not buying it over 2 years rental and that sort of thing to pay with this subscription. But they've got this online movie service called Casper, C-A-S-P-A, which has got really old movies nobody watches and is not interested in.
Exactly. You know, it's a great PVR, but the people who work at TiVo, mate, they just need to improve what they do.
They've got no YouTube access in Australia. I believe in the US you can watch even YouTube videos on it. Yeah. Here it's just Casper and free-to-air. That's it and nothing else whatsoever.
Exactly right. Jason from TechAU did a great post about that, and check that out. I recommend it to anyone that's... Yeah.
Is it any wonder that people are moving to BoxyBox and such? And as we've had recently news that possibly BoxyBox is going to get a USB adapter which will let you watch free-to-air TV on your Boxy Box.
That is correct.
Do you know if that allows recording?
I don't think it can. I think that's just a software update that's going to be in the Boxy Box, and you just go and buy a dongle thing and then just
go with that.
Don't worry about it,
TiVo XL. It's a waste of money.
No, I wouldn't buy it.
If you really like TiVo, get the original one, which is the same box, and just get an extender next time Officeworks got it for $99.
Exactly.
Or, as I've read on forums and websites, you can buy a hard drive from eBay, a 1 terabyte hard drive, pretty cheap, which is already formatted to work perfectly with TiVo. And in a few minutes, well, overnight, you can transfer your current data to the new drive. And then you've got a 320 gig hard drive you can do whatever you want with. And you've got the 1 terabyte in there anyway. So DIY.
Good stuff. What about Aaron? What's your view on this, Aaron?
I just don't care. I mean, the TiVo is really popular in America, and I can understand why, because there's a lot of television to work with.
It is.
But in Australia, the Foxtel unit can do about 75% of what TiVo does, and you get those things for free when you buy a cable television plan. So there's just no value in a TiVo unit in Australia at all.
Mm.
And then this is why they don't really try to put a competitive unit out there, because I don't think many people would buy them anyway. There's such a limited scope to sell these things in Australia that only a select few are actually going to buy them anyway. So it just doesn't even matter. And like, I know for sure that I would never buy one, even if the American quality units that are over there were in Australia. I still wouldn't get it. I just don't care. I just think there's no value in them.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Steve?
There's no value in them over here either. So.
Yeah. What about you, Steve?
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, I think when Brad also, he ordered, I think, a controller for the, I think the TiVo. And the keyboard wouldn't work, because which was Bluetooth, and it wouldn't work because it's a different firmware. The controller worked, but not the keyboard, so that basically knocked half of the functionality.
That's another point, too.
Series 3 doesn't have Bluetooth.
Yeah. That's another point at Hybrid TV. The people who work there must be just dumb. I don't know what they do there, but
they just threw out their CEO, didn't they?
Oh, someone. Apparently there's a new boss there or something that's joined up or something. I don't know. Some new boss that joined.
Somebody else to fire some people and remove stuff.
Well, there's a
call. It's bungled to the launch here.
Yeah, well, there's a call out there for TV. If you want to come on and chat with Tech Webcast, come and chat. You want to chat with us?
We'll call it the devil's advocate section.
Yeah.
Something that I wanted to mention, Brad. Put this on my video. You won't be able to show it on yours, but just recently, due to summer coming again, and last year when I was trying to use my MacBook Pro and burning my legs and getting them very sweaty during summer to talking to people, I got this really cool Logitech cooling pad N120.
Nice.
It's fantastic. It was about $30 from Dick Smith.
Good stuff.
It's got a little fan in it. It's got rubber feet on top of it to hold your MacBook Pro. It works really well with the MacBook Pro. Some of them, they said the cooling pads were too slippery. Cool. And you put it on your lap and it's sliding everywhere. It's got a little USB cable. Just go into your port there and you can keep it nice and cool. And it keeps it off your legs, which also keeps the heat away, but it's also blowing the air through. That's really nice. I would recommend that for anyone interested in that sort of thing, particularly for summer.
Good stuff. Yeah, I can't wait for summer. It's going to be good. And last show is going to be on December the 16th. So,
16th, yep.
So, yeah. Tom, any last word before we go, mate? You want to plug anything before we go, mate?
Let's see. If you guys are really interested in a great cooling or heat shift pad, go check out ThermaPack.
Okay.
You know, it's
That's the one that don't have a fan, is it?
Yeah, there's no fan, and there's like distributing beads or something. I've got one. It works great.
Is that the one you put in the freezer, or is that something else?
No, you don't have to put it in the freezer. It just works on regular room temperature. The beads get hard, and then when you put your laptop on, it starts to heat up. They kind of get a little bit softer and dissipate the heat out the sides. It works pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Let's see. Anything to plug?
Something else that I wanted to ask you, since you do cases and things, have you ever tried – I've seen recently and probably for a while I've only just got the 4S before I had the 3GS, so I didn't bother shooting any video. But after listening to you talking about Brad before and saying about the quality of the 4S camera, this probably would be an idea for me to try recording this show with that, with the
Definitely.
4S instead of my Canon IXUS. And I've noticed you can get adapters that you can plug onto the bottom of the iPhone 4S, which the screen on the 4S becomes an UE interface for a camera, and it's also plugs onto the back. I think it can enhance the lens on there, but it also turns it into sort of a mini point-and-click and video camera.
Okay,
I haven't seen that.
You can download an app for it, and you run the app, and then you plug this thing into the bottom of it, and it's got extra features that is not built into the 4S for shooting video and changing the profile and that sort of thing of the video that's being shot. So if you do a review of that, I'd find it really interesting to have a look at. And I'd need something that I can add a mount on this to mount it onto my tripod that I used the show.
Can I recommend something to you, Jason? I've got a product called Point and Shoot, mate. Now, that just screws into your tripod there. Have you used that at all, Tom? Point and Shoot?
I've used a couple. I've used, I think Omar or Ryan have used Point and Shoot.
That's the one.
I've used X-Shot. They have a couple of different adapters where I'm able to just screw it. There's a case with a thread in it, and I'm able to screw that into a tripod or a monopod or anything. And there's a couple other products that I've looked on Kickstarter that I'm hoping will get funded. And I think there's going to be some cool products out there. Nice. There's one that's called the Steadicam. I don't know if that's going to get funded or not, but it's about the size of a flashlight.
Cool, man.
And the iPhone clips to it. And then there's a retractable rod that comes out the bottom that has a weight on the bottom. So it's a really nice Steadicam. And I'm excited about that. I hope it gets funded. I don't know if it will. It's pretty far behind.
Cool. As now, let's talk Oink for a minute. Jason, have you checked out the Oink app yet?
No.
No, you haven't.
You've been trying to get me to
try it. Yeah,
well,
I have,
out,
and but, you've said no to
I've
me.
I've had the four squares, and the I use Get Glue, and then there was another one that started with M. I can't even remember the name of. Miso.
Okay.
I unsubscribed from that recently, and there's just so many check-in apps, and Facebook you can check in, so...
Yeah,
there's enough checking
I love,
any things. I'm
love,
just getting all checked out.
Yeah, I like Oink. It's good app. Go get it. Tom, have you used it?
I have not. I've downloaded it. I have not had a chance to use it. So you think it's going to be a winner?
It is, mate.
Okay.
It already
I'll check it out this weekend.
It already is, mate. Aaron, have you used it? Is Aaron still there?
Not at all. Didn't even download it.
Okay. Steve, you download it?
No, I don't think I've even heard of it before.
Oink is by Kevin Rose, who created Dig.
Come on, Oink, I'm still on Point and Shoot.
Oh.
I was answering somebody in the chat room. So,
No, go get the app. You'll love it, Steve. I recommend it,
mate. I got Oink,
Yeah, Oink's a great app. We're going to try and get them guys on the show before it ends. Anyway, Tom, where can they find you on the internet, mate?
You can find us at www.buymeaniphone.com. Just how it sounds. Buymeaniphone.com.
Yes. Yeah, buy me an iPhone for us. And Steve, where can they find you, mate?
Of course, here live on my show right here, www.justin.tv/LinuxCoolDude, and my Twitter name, which is chatterbox_live.
Nice. And me, Tech Webcast and Brad Oz. Jason?
At Warlock on Twitter, WAULOK, and bluebilby.com.
Cool as, mate. And Aaron, where can they find you?
OzTech News, OzTechNews.com, and OzTech News on Twitter.
Okay, and before we go, what do you guys thought about the pages on Google Plus now? You can make pages now.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. They're catching up to Facebook. Love it. Everyone seems pretty excited about it.
You got one, Aaron?
I haven't just yet. I'm waiting for Google to release the import tool because I want to import my Google Plus profile to my Google Apps account.
Oh, okay.
And once I've got that set up there, then I'll set up the page under my Google Apps account. So I haven't done it just yet, but I mean, it's definitely good that they've done it because their search engine index will be able to look at that pretty directly, and that'll help a lot of people get found.
Everyone should circle Tech Webcast.
Definitely, I agree. Steve's got one that's on there too. Make sure you circle him as well. Chatterbox Live. Yeah. And Steve, appreciate doing the live show, man. Each week you're a legend for doing that. And
yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's great fun for doing it. All right, this has been episode 163. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks, Tom. I really appreciate it, and I had a great time.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Lost the game.
You lost the game. Jason, to you too, mate. And stay tuned for Steve's. More coming up from Steve very shortly.
That's right. We've got more coming up, so don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Hi, Glenn from Aussie Tech Heads. Join Will, Eric and myself as we bring you the latest, most up-to-date, important tech news that affects you from Australia and the world. A weekly podcast available each Friday through iTunes. Watch the live stream recording of the show at live.thesecrethub.com each Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. or GMT plus 10. Call in live via Skype or chat in our lounge. However you get us, just make sure you do. Listen or visit our website for more information, www.aussietechhead.com.au. Aussie Tech Heads, Australia's longest...
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out Tech Webcast on blip.tv and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes to make sure you always have the latest episode at your fingertips. Tech Webcast, Tech Talk for geeks.